Welcome to the Mainly Plants Podcast with your host and plant-based nutritionist, Ryan Furman.
Oh, welcome. What do we think? Do we like the new intro? Do we not like the new intro? Testing it out. Seeing what's what. Let me know. Thanks for coming back. Thanks for listening your first time, whichever one it is. You can reach me, Ryan, at mainlyplants.com. At Mainly Plants on social media. If you're not subscribed yet to the podcast, hit that subscribe button. Give it the D. Turn that subscribe into a subscribed. And never miss an episode. Let's see. Before we get into today's topic, it's going to be a little bit of a rant. Yesterday was not my day. Well, actually, before. Let me Tarantino this real quick and give you some other stuff to chew on first. There was supposed to be a podcast about mushrooms this week with a couple of guests. They had to reschedule again. This is the second time they've rescheduled. I don't know if they're going to follow through. I don't want to give the company name out just because I don't want, affect them in that way. Negatively, at least. I do like their product. I wish they would come onto the podcast and keep the appointment. But alas, they had to reschedule. I don't know when they're going to reschedule for. So we'll see. If they do not reschedule or if they fall through again, obviously I'm not even going to bother with them anymore. I will have other guests on for y'all. And we can go over mushrooms again. I love the topic. I think you guys love the topic. So that's what's happening with that. So no mushroom podcast this week or the foreseeable future. I don't know when they're going to reschedule. Okay, let me get back into it. The rant. Yesterday was not my day. People were pissing me the fuck off. And I generally have very good patience. And yesterday they were really tested. So the first thing that happened was I was at the grocery store. I needed to get stamps. I needed 100 stamps. And I went to the checker outer girl, and it's my turn to be rung up. I bought a few other things also, and not only does she not even look at me, she doesn't even acknowledge my presence. Doesn't say, "Hey, how are you? Did you find everything that you were looking for?" Like every checker in the history of grocery stores has said to me forever. She just started ringing the stuff up and bagging it, and I said, "Hey, I'm going to need some stamps also." Didn't acknowledge that she heard me. I only had a few things, so as I was saying this, she rung me up. And I said, "Okay, but I need some stamps." And she goes, "I already added them to your order. Please pay." And I'm like, "Well, I needed more than just that one booklet. You didn't ask me how many stamps I needed. Let alone did you acknowledge my presence or that you even heard me." So I just looked at her, and she said, "Please pay." So I paid. And then I went to the customer service area where you like buy tobacco and stuff, and got the rest of my stamps there from my gentleman who was very lovely and very nice. So I will be writing a letter to the Safeway on the corner of Chaparral and Hayden about this one checker's demeanor, because I mean, just look, if you hate your job, hate your job, but that is your job. So, you know, if you're in customer service the customers. So I was already annoyed about this. And then I went to the dog park a little bit later in the day. And there are two parks. Well, there's three, but there's two open at any given time. Two areas. And one is generally for large dogs. And one is generally for small dogs. They are not labeled large and small dog areas. They're labeled as passive and active. But everybody who goes there knows that it's big dog and small dog. Unless your dog is, big and very, very mellow and just wants to hang out and like lay down and maybe, play very gently with the small dogs. Like my last dog, Dexter, that was him. We would go to the large dog side. He'd get his energy out. And then he loved to go to the small dog side and just make friends. Well, my dog is, Eleanor is a little antsy right now. But anyway, so I'm in the small dog side with her, with Eleanor, and there is this big, probably like 70, 80 pound Rottweiler. And look, there are big dogs there from time to time, and generally they're fine. This one would not stop fucking with Eleanor, chasing her around, nipping at her, tackling her. Eleanor is 15 pounds. This dog is much bigger. So it got to the point where I'm on the phone with my brother at this point. And I say, hang on. And I push the big Rottweiler away, physically, and I pick up Eleanor. And my brother says to me, you know, what's going on? And I said, very loudly, so the owner heard me, I said, well, people bring their big dogs to the small dog side. And he calls his dog over, and he goes, there's no bigger small dog side. And I turned to him, and I said, yeah, active and passive. Does your dog seem passive? And he shut the fuck up, and he recalled his dog and made sure his dog didn't act out anymore for the remainder of the time that he was there. There was another dog there, a small dog, that wouldn't stop humping Eleanor. And look, it happens, right? Shit happens. Dogs will hump. But generally, the owners will step in, pull the dogs off. The dog doesn't stop. They'll either leave or take the dog to another part of the park. This owner was just nose buried in his phone. And Eleanor is constantly getting humped, and I'm constantly pulling this dog off. To the point where I turn around and I say, hey, can you pay attention to your dog? Keeps humping my dog. And he, to his credit, he stopped it. But it's like, look, the dog park is not a place to just take your dog so that you can, you know, not pay attention to it. The dog park is a place to take your dog so the dog can socialize, get some energy out. But you still have to pay attention to your dog. You need to know where your dog is at all times. You need to know if your dog's going to the bathroom, because if it's taking a shit, you need to pick it up. I can't tell you how many times I've had to alert owners who are buried in their phones or in conversations about their dogs pooping, and they're not picking it up. And it's infuriating, because it's like, look, between Safeway and the dog park, right? People need to get out of themselves. Realize that there is a world beyond your nose. Not everything revolves around you. And, you know, remembering that we're all part of something greater would do all of us wonders. And look, I'm guilty of it also, right? Sometimes I get distracted by my phone. Sometimes I get distracted by a conversation. But when it comes to my dog, and for that matter, people or things that I care about, I'm going to cut you no slack. Having a dog is a responsibility. Having a job is a responsibility. Just do what you're supposed to fucking do. It's not that hard. You know, every day when I'm at a red light, and this is at least once a day, somebody in front of me will not be paying attention. They'll be in their phone or whatever, and the light's red, and I wait, you know, 2-3 seconds before I have to tap my horn, but inevitably I always have to tap my horn. And it's like, I don't understand how you expect to know when to go if you're not paying attention to the light. I think that we'd all do better just kind of staying present and realizing that there is a world outside of us that we are part of and we contribute to, and we need to contribute better in a positive way. So that's my rant. That's my soapbox for today, but Let's get into it. And today's topic was kind of fueled by that in a roundabout way. But we're talking about why us as humans are living, you know, a modern lifestyle that we are not designed to live. Right? So human evolution has been shaped by challenges and opportunities that have come about in our natural environments. And for the majority of our evolutionary history, we as humans have lived as hunter-gatherers, right? Our modern society is only a blip for how long we've been around, which is a blip in the grand scheme of how old the Earth is. And, you know, being hunter-gatherers, we relied on physical activity and our senses and social cooperation in order to survive. We needed all these things. You know, our ancestors faced a range of environmental pressures, from the need to hunt for food, to avoiding predators, to adapting to changing climates, to foraging for food. All these challenges have favored traits and behaviors that allowed us for successful navigation in our environments. And furthermore, physical activity was inherent to our daily life, whether we're hunting or gathering, or if we're nomadic and traveling, looking for our next home, it required significant movement. And as a result, our bodies evolved to thrive with regular exercise and mobility. I bet you can guess where I'm going with this, right? The human body is, it's finely tuned for movement. You know, if you look at the bulk of Americans right now, you might be, you know, furrowing your brows a little bit, but our bodies are tuned for movement. Our musculoskeletal system, our cardiovascular system, our metabolic processes, they all function optimally when we engage in regular physical activity. I don't know if you can hear little Eleanor whining. She's laying on the floor underneath my desk, and she I think I'm being loud for her nap time, so she's upset, but just ignore her. But all these things are optimal. They perform optimally when we engage in regular physical activity. Prolonged periods of sitting or sedentary behavior have detrimental effects on our health. Right? When we're sitting in a fucking cubicle all day, when we come home and we just sit on the couch and watch TV all day. Look, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm guilty of it also, but it's not what we're designed to do. It's important to move. Research has linked sedentary lifestyles to increased risks of obesity, of heart disease, of type 2 diabetes, of certain types of cancers. So incorporating regular exercise and movement breaks into our daily routines can help mitigate these risks and promote our overall well-being. Our bodies are designed to move. And maintaining an active lifestyle is crucial for maintaining physical and mental health. You got to think about it. When we were, you know, primitive people, you know, even all the way up through like the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, we walked a lot, right? There were no cars. Yeah, there was horseback, but even that could be pretty physical. We were designed to be active. And the lives that we live now are not active. Most of us. You know, if you live in a city like New York or, you know, a walkable city, that's great. You know, most people walk everywhere. They take, you know, the train here and there and then they walk. If you live in a place like where I live, in, you know, Scottsdale or anywhere in Arizona, really, it's next to impossible to walk everywhere. Not only is it very spread out, but it's too fucking hot. So, you know, we're not designed to be sitting in a cubicle. Kids are not designed to be sitting in classrooms for 8 hours a day. Now, look, what's the answer? I don't know. I'm giving you the problem. You know, it's strange. You know, I'm all for education, the right education, for whatever you want to take that as. Hey, stop chewing on the... Sorry, hold on a second. Hey, stop chewing the box. She's chewing on a cardboard box. Where was I? Oh, yeah, schooling. You know, all these kids are being prescribed medications so easily for ADD and ADHD because they don't want to... They're not designed to sit in a classroom. They're hyper. Kids have a lot of energy. They're like puppies. You need to be physical. They need to get that out, not just be sedated. I think our modern lifestyles are hurting us. And that's just the physical. You know, the whole thing about the whole dietary, right? The human dietary patterns have undergone significant changes with the advent of agriculture and industrialization. And while our ancestors consumed diets primarily composed of natural unprocessed foods, like, you know, fruits and vegetables, like lean meats and lean organs, you know, modern diets often include an abundance of processed foods, which are high in refined sugars and unhealthy fats and additives and chemicals and preservatives. And these dietary shifts have profound implications for our health. You know, processed foods are often very calorically dense but nutrient poor, which leads to the overconsumption of food and nutrient deficiencies, which is why a whole foods plant-based diet offers... Oh, she's just going from one cardboard box to the next. She's in air jail now. Sorry about that, guys. Which is why a whole food plant-based diet offers a diet that is calorically poor but nutrient dense. It's the opposite of what the standard American diet is. I don't know of a diet that's worse than our diet here in America. I mean, you look at Europe, they don't allow dyes in their foods, certain chemicals, certain amounts of sugars. They have much more stringent guidelines for what's allowed in our foods. Here, they'll fucking put anything in our foods. And people will sit back and wonder why everybody's getting so sick. You know, it is this overconsumption of food. And, you know, our bodies are better adapted to metabolize and derive nutrients from whole, unprocessed foods. You got to prioritize a diet that's rich in fruits and rich in vegetables. And, you know, if you are going to have animal products, lean proteins and organs. Not that I recommend it or advocate for it, but if you're going to, do it the right way. Even, you know, whole grains. The grains that we have here are not good for you. If you can get your hands on some European heritage grains, that's the stuff that's actually good for you. But, you know, all that together is going to support optimal health and vitality. And then there's stuff like social dynamics, right? Human evolution has been profoundly influenced by social interactions and group living, essentially. Our ancestors lived in tight-knit communities where cooperation, communication, and social support were essential to survive. If you haven't read Sapiens, the book Sapiens, read that book because it goes into depth about all this, and it's fascinating stuff. And I don't want to sit here and regurgitate it when you can read it for somebody who could write it much better than I can say it. But our modern lifestyles, especially in urban environments, oftentimes foster social isolation and disconnection. You know, our hours at work in office settings, coupled with our reliance on digital communication, really limits opportunities for meaningful face-to-face interaction. You know, there is no substitute. Jesus, back at the box. There's no substitute for social interaction. You know, you can text people all day, you can video chat, you can even talk on the phone. And those are good when you can't, you know, have face-to-face, but nothing beats the physical presence of somebody else. That's why, you know, if you are away from your family for whatever, if you're on a trip and you're away from your family or friends and you FaceTime them, it doesn't bring you the same happiness as when you're back together with them. I mean, you would think that it's pretty straightforward, but people don't realize this. And that social isolation has been linked to adverse health outcomes, including increased risks of depression, anxiety, and cognitive decline. Your brain actually suffers. So cultivating strong social connections and prioritizing interpersonal relationships is vital for maintaining mental and emotional well-being. But beyond all that, beyond the diet, beyond the socialization, beyond the physical, human physiology is intricately tied to the natural light-dark cycles of the day. It's called circadian rhythm. Our internal biological clocks, which are governed by that circadian rhythm, regulate various bodily functions, including, you know, obviously our sleep-wake cycle, but also hormone production and metabolism. So our ancestors lived in a natural harmony with these rhythms, right? They went to sleep when it was dark, and they woke up and were active during the day. But our modern lifestyles have disrupted these rhythms because of artificial lighting and irregular work schedules and blue light, which is terrible. Blue light comes from electronic devices. Now, look, again, I'm not saying that all these things are bad, right? It's great that we have electricity. It's great that we have artificial light. But we need to do things to mitigate the negative effects of these. Get blue light blocking glasses for when you're on the computer. You can do night shift on your phone to where it's more of an amber tone, which gets rid of the blue light and helps you produce melatonin in your brain. There's things that we can do, but what I'm saying is that just like the way that people live bare bones with our modern lifestyles without doing anything to mitigate the negative effects of it, it's really a detriment to us. And disruptions in our circadian rhythms have profound consequences for our health. It contributes to terrible sleep, to bad moods, to fluctuating moods, to metabolic dysfunction, right? So prioritizing a consistent sleep schedule and minimizing exposure to artificial light before bedtime and spending time outdoors during daylight hours, getting that 10 minutes of sunshine in, can really help synchronize your internal clock with the natural environment in an unnatural way of living, if that makes sense. And while our ancestors faced immediate physical threats to their survival, you know, like predators or food scarcity, we as humans now contend with a different array of stressors, you know, work pressures and financial worries and societal expectations. None of this stuff we are built to handle. We're not designed to cope well with work pressure, with financial burdens. All those things are constructive of modern society. And we are animals that evolved over time to live a certain way. And we have not evolved yet for living with our modern lifestyle. And the human stress response evolved to mobilize certain resources to cope with, you know, short-term stressors. However, chronic stress can and does overwhelm our physiological system, and it leads to the dysregulation of hormones like cortisol and adrenaline. I have suffered from a dysregulation of cortisol. My cortisol was through the roof. And I have no doubt that it's because of our modern lifestyle. And I've done things to get it under control to now where it's very low again. But I suffered from high cortisol for a long time. And it fucked my sleeping up, which fucked my metabolism up, which fucked my moods up. It's like a domino effect. One thing affects the other, affects the next. And so on and so forth. And prolonged exposure to stress has profound health problems. It contributes to things like cardiovascular disease, to a dysfunctional immune system, to mental health disorders, and everything in between, physical to mental, mental back to physical. So developing effective coping strategies and practicing mindfulness and relaxation techniques, especially at the end of the day before bed, along with, you know, obviously fostering a supportive social network in real life, really helps mitigate the detrimental effects of chronic stress. I've said it before on podcasts not too long ago. Meditation, yoga, Pilates, even just going to the gym and exercising really helps with coping with stress. Download the Calm app. Yeah, you can pay for it, but there's free stuff in there. Even like a 10-minute mindful meditation really will go a long way, especially at the end of the day. If you incorporate this into your routine, I think you're going to see some big effects. The concept of evolutionary mismatch posits that many aspects of modern life are incongruent with our evolutionary heritage, which leads to mismatches between our biology and our environment. This is the crux of what I'm talking about, and it's called mismatch theory. So, for example, our bodies may not be well adapted to prolonged sitting, which can contribute to issues with your bones, with your muscles, and with your metabolism. Similarly, exposure to artificial light at night can and will disrupt your circadian rhythm and interfere with sleep quality. But recognizing these mismatches can help you come up with certain ways to intervene and promote health and well-being in this modern world that we live in. Strategies like, you know, an ergonomic workplace place design, standing desks, desks with treadmills, urban planning that encourages physical activity, I think is very important, and we've got away from it. Policies that support access to healthy foods and help bridge the gap between our evolutionary past and our contemporary lifestyles will go a long way. It really comes down to education, education and mitigation. So I think it's important that you take a step back and look at your daily life. Keep a journal for a day so you can go back and read through it. Look at what you ate. Look at what you did. How long were you walking for? How long were you standing for? How long were you sitting for? How long were you exposed to blue light? Okay, take that and look at the things that are affecting you. Are you constantly tired when you wake up? Do you not sleep well at night? Does it take you for a long time to fall asleep? Are you having trouble shedding the pounds? Are you having gut biome issues? All this stuff, right? And then you can look at what you can do to mitigate it. What about your modern lifestyle is affecting this? I think that most of us, myself included, just go through daily life not really paying much attention to this, but I think we would all do much better paying attention to it. So that's your homework. That's your task for the week. And until next week, go eat a salad.